You're listening to The Source, news you can use.
Good afternoon, you're listening to 4EB, The Source News. You're with Josh Holmes.
And Julia Langton.
Bringing you the latest in news, sports and weather.
Whilst the Australian drought is worsening, the mental health of Australian farmers is on the decline as stress from the lack of rain for crops and the resulting financial strain has left farmers in a state of disarray.
But this has caused the Australian community to come together as one in in support of our farmers by organising charity events and increasing mental health awareness for those affected.
Coming up, Tony Abbott has received backlash after accepting new Prime Minister Scott Morrison's offer to become an envoy for Indigenous Affairs.
The Indigenous community has voiced their opinions on the decision, stating they were not included in government decisions.
But first, let's cross to Tilly Hannon with the latest news.
Mayor Tom Tate has rallied his support behind the push to make Mount Tambourine officially part of the Gold Coast. The small community is currently a part of the Scenic Rin Regional Council, with Mayor Tom Tate saying he was open to the idea, but ultimately it was up for the residents to decide. Meanwhile, the annual Gold Coast Show is set to start tomorrow at Broadwater Parklands from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. in Owen Park, and in Owen Park from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The show will go until September 2nd and is free to attend. Josh and Julia will have more up next. Also, Sydney has been declared the ninth most expensive city for housing affordability in the world. It comes on top of a survey published earlier this year that said the city's housing crisis was so bad, only residents in Hong Kong could afford to buy in the rising property market. The Gold Hearts... Congo's latest Ebola outbreak could be the worst ever in East Africa. Since the latest outbreak was declared on August 1st, a total of 77 people have died with symptoms of the disease, 47 of which have been confirmed cases of Ebola. I'm Tilly Hannon and you're with the Source News on 4EB.
Good evening, this is 4EB with the Source News. I'm Jack Holt with the Sport. Jonathan Thurston will play his final game for the Cowboys at the Cebus Super Stadium on Saturday. Reporter Savannah Burke has more of this later on in the show. The Women's Tennis Association has responded to controversy regarding Alyssa Cornet removing her shirt at the US Open. The organisation branded the penalty as being unfair after Cornet was warned by chair umpire adjusting her shirt. The 28-year-old will only receive a warning for the infringement. US Open officials say that players are only allowed to change while sitting in their player's chair or with a request to change tyre needed during sets. Andy Murray has been knocked out of the US Open in the second round by Fernando Verdasco. Murray, who was ranked number one in 2016, went out on four-set defeat. The Scotsman came back from an injury that sidelined him for 14 months to compete in the tournament. During the defeat, Murray complained to the officials that Verdasco had consulted with his team in a 10-minute heat break. And finally, the Socceroos coach Graham Arnold has announced his first squad ahead of training camp in Turkey. The 31-man team will include the five uncapped players, with a focus on nurturing Australia's next generation of talent. The squad does include Australia's World Cup top scorer Miles Jedinak, however does not include Socceroos top scorer Tim Cahill. Cahill is expected to make a final appearance for the Socceroos when Australia face Lebanon in November. With the Asia Cup coming up in 2019, this gives the 55-year-old a chance to evaluate his squad. And now to the weather.
Good afternoon, I'm Logan Walker bringing you the latest weather. The temperature in Brisbane is currently sitting at 19 degrees Celsius. The high for today was 22 degrees. And tonight we can expect a low of 9 degrees with 0% chance of rain. Tomorrow, be prepared to slip, slop, slap with temperatures up to 26 degrees on the way. Summer is just around the corner, it seems. Now back to Josh and Julia.
Whilst the fears of the Australian drought are worsening, mental health of Australian farmers is increasing dramatically. Australia is coming together as one to make the change that is necessary today. Sakara Bell reports.
Southeast Australia is in the worst part of a drought than many can remember. It was reported from meteorologists that July and August was the second hottest and driest since 2012. Predictions are now suggesting that there is still no relief in sight. With the price of grain rising and the price of stock still falling, farmers are struggling and so is their mental health. Sakara Bell reports. Local Warwick farmer Jacob Stevens said that it's a pretty tough time, but if all the farmers stick together and everyone does count their blessings, Australian farmers will be okay and they will get through this together. However, with the drought fears getting worse, so are the farmers' mental health. While trying to keep stock alive and also trying to get feed for their livestock, it's just about impossible due to the drought that is challenging farmers daily. Suicide rates in rural and regional areas are increasing dramatically due to the conditions that are adding more stress to the farmers. Mr. Stevens said that some of the damage that is being done now can last in years in terms of farmers having to restock and investing in their farm's business. Even the impacts of the drought can linger on for years to come.
Yeah, look, it's probably one of those things that, the farming community, there's a lot of very proud people that don't like to ask for help, and situations like this, it sort of plays on everyone's minds that when is it going to end, and those sorts of things just go around in people's heads, and it really does affect their mental state, and it is quite sort of difficult to put into words.
With heart-wrenching images of the harsh reality of the drought being plastered all over Facebook, Australians can now finally see that this issue that is affecting Australia won't be going away anytime soon, and something needs to be done. Australians are finally coming together, holding charity events and organisations to increase the mental health awareness around the drought, but also to show that there is light at the end of the tunnel with positive outlooks from Australians. Local Warwick Golf Club manager Nathan Bell said that it's time for Australians to come together as one and make the change. On the 21st of October, a charity golf day will be held at the golf club to raise money for the farmers.
It's a charity golf day to raise money for the farmers that are struggling to put food on their tables and survive themselves. We're all worried about the families that do need help. So Australia's bonding together to help the farmers by putting food on their tables and hopefully save people's lives.
Two local sisters have started a movement to donate formal dresses and suits to drought-affected areas and also improving mental health. Anita Guyett and Tashoni Hardy have created this heartwarming movement after hearing that some of the school in the drought-affected areas have called off their formals due to circumstances. Anita said that it's incredibly humbling to see just how far this movement has gone in just a short amount of time and just how much further it will go. Local farming families are incredibly thankful and can't hold back the emotion. The overwhelming responses from Australia and also leaving beautiful notes with addresses restores faith back into our home, our Australia.
Literally can't go to the formal because for their parents it's a choice between putting food on the table or going and buying a $500 formal dress.
Sakara Bell reporting for The Source News.
Former Prime Minister Tony Abbott is receiving backlash from Indigenous groups for accepting a new role as an Indigenous envoy. Kyle Hexer reports.
New Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison offered Tony Abbott a new role as a special envoy for Indigenous affairs earlier this week, which Mr. Abbott has accepted. Already, Mr. Abbott is receiving backlash from Indigenous groups about the new role, with many Indigenous leaders saying it won't help since the government doesn't engage them in these decisions. Mr. Abbott is uncertain as to what his new role in the Morrison government will mean, and Indigenous leaders like Rod Little, who is co-chair of the National Congress of Australia's First People, are concerned about this uncertainty as well.
Mr. Abbott has stated himself that he doesn't know what the role will entail, so we can't make any predictions. The one thing that I do know that Mr. Abbott has said is that there are things about which are still the same, is that getting school attendance up, keeping families, parents in work and community safety.
With questions being left unanswered about the envoy role, communities are worried about what the future holds for them under a man whose track record involves rejecting the From the Heart statement. He says Mr. Abbott is ill-informed about his plans to help Indigenous attendance in schools and is unsuited for the new role.
I think his track record speaks for itself. He hasn't done any significant that will give us any confidence that in this role he will do even better, because what we want Mr. Abbott to do in this role is to do better than his previous history.
Kyle Hexer for The Source News.
One of Queensland's most violent rapists is set for unsupervised release later in the year, with experts concerned it's only a matter of time before he will re-offend. Ashley Jensen reports.
The notorious rapist Robert John Farden, who has been convicted of countless attacks spanning over 20 years, will walk free later this year. The dangerous sex offender who once held a 12-year-old girl at gunpoint during a senseless attack will no longer be subject to check-ins, curfews, counselling and restrictions on where he lives after the state government lost a court bid to extend these services. Farden's history dates back to the 1960s, but he was first imprisoned in 1989 under rape and assault charges. He was later released under supervision in 2007, when in the following year he was charged and convicted for rape, with the conviction later being overturned on appeal. Child protection agents and local residents are concerned that Farden will resettle back on the coast, and it is not a case of if the serial rapist will reoffend, but when. Gold Coast resident of 20 years, Michelle English, says she is outraged at the thought of Farden's soon-to-be-found freedoms. Residents and locals alike believe the system has failed the community.
I think it's appalling, and it shouldn't happen. I mean, this guy is a sexual predator. It's what he's been doing his whole life, and it's something that he will continue to do. It's inbred in him. He is a danger to society.
Social worker Wendy Randall raises concerns about Farden and the issues he would face without a network of support in place.
Because if he's not receiving any supports, well then how is he going to manage anything?
She suggests without the appropriate methods in place, there is nothing to facilitate behavioural change resulting in future offences and more victims. Queensland behavioural psychologists suggest that the serial sex offenders, such as Farden, cannot and will not change.
This is a difficult situation because the court system's got their hands tied, I understand it. They also have a community to protect, and when you've got an unsupervised serial sex offender on release, then there's a high chance that he's going to reoffend. It doesn't matter what program the person is going to in prison. I really don't think, once somebody just been suspended, they're a serial sex offender for life, and that's just who they are. But unfortunately, I think the likelihood is that he will be, and sadly, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Expert opinion indicates places to permanently facilitate these offenders needs to be established. Without them, the risk to the community is high. Robert John Farden will be free as of October this year. Ashley Jansen for The Source News.
The Golden Hearts program by Queensland's Animal Welfare League unites people with their dream pet. Tom Riley reports.
The Golden Hearts Senior Pet Support Program, created by the Animal Welfare League Queensland, is a unique program tailored to support people aged 65 years and over with pet ownership. For those senior-aged individuals living on a pension, it can be a little costly, so the program provides members with emergency foster care for their pets if they were to ever go to hospital. Plus, members receive discounts of up to 50% off of vaccinations and other services. Relationship manager Jackie Kennedy says that for those having trouble trying to find a pet, the Welfare League have a pet matching program, which examines an individual's living situation, for example those who can walk or if they live a more sedentary lifestyle, and matches them with the perfect pet. Golden Hearts also cares for those pets who owners no longer can.
They have to move into an aged care facility that doesn't allow them to take their pet. We say, look, for free, bring your pet to us, and it will go through our vet system, and we will try and match it with someone similar to the lifestyle that it's had with you.
June is a member of the Golden Hearts Foundation. For June, this program was the difference between depression and a happy life. After losing her husband and being alone in her big house, she came to meet the new love of her life, Pinky.
Jackie, who looks after the program, told me that she thought one of them might be suitable for me, and that's how I come to meet Pinky.
It has been wonderful. It's been a real lifesaver.
Tom Riley, The Source News.
That was Tom Riley reporting. Stay tuned, pet owners. Reports have shown a recent increase in animal tick-related deaths. In the next 10 minutes, we'll be teaching you how to keep your animals safe this tick season.
The Source. News you can use.
Good afternoon. If you've just tuned in, this is 4EB, The Source News. The time is 5:13 p.m. The temperature is currently 19 degrees in Brisbane. Local aspiring catwalk model Savannah Lee is soon to be walking the world stage.
And later, more on the 112th year of the new revamped Gold Coast show, with a wide variety of show bags, rides and community-based entertainment.
The Source. News you can use.
Two local teen girls have found success in the modelling industry overseas and business-wide. Lily Beltoff reports.
18-year-old Gold Coast model Savannah Lee has just gotten back from the US, where she rubbed shoulders with some of the big names in the modelling industry. Spending time at the world-renowned IMG Academy, she worked with Victoria's Secret photographer Russell James, royal wedding makeup artist Daniel Martin, and more. Savannah talks about what she would like to see in her future endeavours while waiting to hear back from scouting opportunities in the US. She says she's been working hard in Australia and she'd love to be signed by an agency in the next few months before she ventures overseas. Savannah also says she's interested in more opportunities such as photo shoots and runway work. She says she will keep going in the industry and is enjoying what she does. Savannah's colleague Caitlin Jean, aged 19, is the owner and founder of Rebel Rebel Talent, spanning over the Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast. The agency aims to provide successful avenues for budding local models. Caitlin explains the values her agency stands by to encourage the diversity of her models. She says Rebel Rebel Talent started because of her background in industry photography, working with model agencies who had the same look. She wanted to start an agency that had more diversity to give girls and boys more opportunities who were not generally industry standard models. Although Caitlin isn't just interested in the modelling industry, she has already written a book called Sweet and Sour, including Love and Heartbreak, which is building popularity across the globe and has another on the way. Lily Biltoft for The Source News.
Nearly a month after the Coles backflip fiasco, today marks the end of their free plastic bag giveaway. Peyton McCausland reports.
Last month, Coles had announced the indefinite use of their reusable bags as single-use plastic bags were banned. The outrage from environmental groups forced the supermarket to backflip on its decision, stopping the free giveaway period. Coles had said that from today, they will begin charging customers for their 15-cent reusable bags. Joyce Stoyle, the director of Plastic Free Living, welcomed the end of the free bag giveaway.
I hope they stick to their guns. I mean, the environment needs it. We can see we're drowning in plastic all over the world at the moment. It's only getting worse. And it's such a simple thing for our households, our communities to be able to do, to just insist in that waste not reaching landfill and out to our waterways.
Customer complaints are expected to spike over the next few weeks as shoppers are shocked that complimentary bags will no longer be offered indefinitely. Coles shopper Lisa Drysdale says...
And I was extremely disappointed this morning when I heard that they had just done a big backflip and are now charging. And I just think it's totally outrageous that all supermarkets, not just Coles, just think that they can just keep ripping off the customer and charging and charging and increasing their profits.
Coles and Woolworths customers can now expect to pay 15 cents per reusable bag. Peyton from The Source News.
Pet fatalities have increased in recent weeks as tick season begins earlier than expected. Eden Parks reports.
Vets have reported an increase in tick paralysis cases this week, prompting the RSPCA to warn pet owners to check their animals. Tick season generally starts in September, with most cases occurring during spring and summer, but the critters are here early this year due to weather changes. They're easily treatable at the start, but if left undetected, it can be fatal. RSPCA spokesman Michael Beattie says pet owners need to be on the lookout.
Just because of the warmer weather, Australia seems to start earlier every year and the winters get shorter, but also in particular after we had that rain. So in the last week that basically skyrocketed. So it's really just a warning for people to check their animals because the ticks are well and truly out there at the moment.
Tick paralysis is one of the most common preventable causes of death for pets. Symptoms include a change in the dog's bark, regurgitating food, muscle weakness, and a hind limb gait. Joel Dawson found a tick on his German Shepherd yesterday.
A while after, he was running around the bush. He started to get the shake. He was just being a little bit lazy. He kept licking this one spot on his body, and it ended up being a tick. We had to take it out and get him treated for it.
Tick prevention includes washes, collars, sprays, spot-ons and tablets. But even with protection, animals can still be susceptible. If you find a tick on your pet, use tweezers to remove it and clean the bite area with antiseptic. Seek further help from your vet if these symptoms persist. Eden Parks for The Source News.
Meat and dairy products are now considered healthier for us, suggests news research. Jessica Ambler reports.
An international study from McMaster University in Canada found introducing more servings of meat and dairy products into a well-balanced diet could improve our overall health and reduce the risk of an early death. Queensland Nutrition Manager Maria Packham for the Heart Foundation Australia recommends eating a well-rounded diet. This means incorporating fruit, vegetables and meats as well as reduced fat dairy into our diets.
Eating a variety of healthy protein sources, things like fish and seafood, lean meat and poultry, things like legumes as well, nuts and seeds are all great sources of healthy protein. Also looking at reduced fat dairy, such as unflavoured milk, yogurt and cheese. Now what we know is eating this way will definitely help improve heart health for all Australians and for the Australian eating pattern.
Dietitian Emma Glazenbury for Dairy Australia says most Australians typically don't consume the recommended daily amount of dairy, which is something new research could improve.
This research confirms what we know about the health benefits of cheese. It has shown play a positive role in a healthy balanced diet, including heart and diabetes health. Most Aussies need to have at least an extra one or two serves a day, and cheese can be part of this.
Jessica Ambler for The Source News.
Education Secretary for the United States, Betsy DeVos, has been recently preparing new policies on sexual misconduct in college campuses, which could give students accused of abuse more rights and decrease college liability. Will Australia follow suit? Samantha Baldry reports.
As several American colleges face charges of faculty and staff conducting sexual harassment on campus, the Trump administration has proposed legal changes which protect those accused of sexual misconduct. The new policies under Education Secretary Betsy DeVos will redefine sexual harassment, but also encourage universities to provide further support to victims of rape and other forms of sexual assault. Rebecca Sheehan, Program Director of Gender Studies at Macquarie University, puts the decision down to an administration with views that are against equality and equity.
We're seeing a big pushback. It's not just in relation to sexual misconduct. It's on a number of different levels. There's a real kind of culture war, if you like, that's going on between the left and the right at the moment around issues of equality.
Terry McDonald, Policy and Research Officer for the National Tertiary Education Union, believes there is more to be done in protecting our own students here in Australia.
What we have seen is that in terms of dealing with this issue, some universities are doing a very good job and some universities are less committed. And we think that that has to be something taken seriously by every single institution.
Samantha Baldry for The Source News.
The Gold Coast Titans are gearing up to take on the North Queensland Cowboys this Saturday at Cbus Stadium, with Jonathan Thurston's last game of NRL said to be one to remember. Savannah Bork reports.
A sold-out stadium and a farewell to one of the most iconic players in the NRL history will leave the Gold Coast in awe this weekend, with North Queensland Cowboys legend Jonathan Thurston playing his final game of NRL against the Gold Coast Titans on Saturday afternoon. North Queensland fans will miss seeing Thurston out on the field after a decision early in the year that his 17th season in the NRL would be his last. After being awarded his fifth Dally M medal this year, the 35-year-old is looking forward to settling down with his family and beginning a new chapter of his life, with the latest announcement of baby number 4 on its way. Cowboys fullback Ben Hampton, who plays alongside the NRL star, said the team won't be the same without Thurston.
All the boys will miss him. He has a really big impact on us on the field. Also, we're going to miss him off the field. Great character among the team, and yeah, he'll be missed.
Gold Coast Titans' latest recruit, AJ Brimson, is ecstatic to be a part of the farewell of his lifelong idol. The 19-year-old, who made his debut against Melbourne in round 10, showed the strides he has made in just 3 months when he lined up at fullback for the Titans last Saturday. Brimson said he is honoured to play against Thurston in his final game, saying it will be once-in-a-lifetime experience.
To get the opportunity to play someone like that in his last ever NRL game, it's something that a lot of great fans experience and really going to cherish the moment. I'm really excited about the game on Saturday night.
Jonathan Thurston will kick off Saturday's game at 5:30 at Cbus Stadium. Savannah Burke for The Source News.
It was announced today that $3.68 million in funding has been committed to in-school water safety lessons starting from 2019. Claire Lacey reports.
The state government announced today that Queensland primary school students will receive free water safety lessons from next year. The Queensland government will be committing $3.68 million annually to increase and expand in-school swimming programs for students. Brendan Ward, the CEO of the Swimming Coaches and Teachers Association, says the extra funding is a great first step.
We do support the additional funding and I think it's a really good start. I think it's really vital to have qualified and experienced teachers. That's something that we do. And to have the extra funding, but unless you've got the resources to be able to use it appropriately, then it's going to be a wasted opportunity. So we're really encouraging the government to make sure that the teachers that are providing Learn to Swim in Water Safety have got the right qualification.
This state government initiative was announced to assist the plan to make Queensland the water safe state after the Save Our Kids campaign revealed a decline in students' swimming ability. Redland Bay State School Deputy Principal Kathy Parker says the extra funding will help teachers implement programs to educate students on how to be safe in and around the water.
This additional funding will allow us to provide more programs to teach water safety procedures and to implement Learn to Swim programs for our children. Swimming and water sports are an important part of our way of life in Queensland. The water safety and swimming education programs will ensure that our children can be taught to be safe in and around the water.
Claire Lacey for The Source News.
Griffith University is taking recycling seriously, having started a project to reduce coffee cup waste. With the slogan, Flip, Tip, Slip, it's easy to remember what to do. Harkon Lee reports.
A coffee in the morning is what makes the day, and many of us love takeaway coffee. What you might didn't know is that takeaway coffee cups create a huge waste issue. Griffith University has now taken action and joined Australia's first dedicated coffee cup recycling program, Simply Cups, and has now partnered up with Closed Loops. It started last year as a pilot project at the business school, but this year it's a much bigger project that comprises the whole university. Vanessa Tavares-Talmau, Sustainability Project Officer at the business school, tells us more about the goals in the project.
Well, first of all, raise awareness about the waste issue with within the university community, so staff and students, and second, reduce waste. Coffee cups are one of the biggest issues when it comes to waste because they're not recyclable.
And also the coffee shops at the university likes the idea and embracing it. Amy, manager of the True North Cafe at Griffith University, likes the idea of reducing waste.
So we had this a similar thing set up last year and it was pretty well received, and like people were using the tube thing. We had it set up next to our bin, and when they took it away, people were asking where it was. So I think it's good that it's going to be a permanent thing just around the corner. And yeah, we already encourage people to not take lids because that is like extra plastic, and we encourage people to use keep cups.
Hokun Lee, The Source News.
Are you ready for a weekend of fun? The annual Gold Coast Show is set to start tomorrow. Ashley Hartley reports.
This weekend marks the 112th year of the Gold Coast Show. The event will begin tomorrow and will continue throughout the weekend. Monique Whiffen, Gold Coast Show Entertainment Coordinator, says this year the show has been revamped to encourage people to come along and to participate in some community-based entertainment.
We've got heaps of rides, free entertainment, show bags, show food, and of course all of your favourite agricultural animals. We've got fireworks on every evening. This year the Gold Coast Show, we've moved locations. They're going to be held at the Southport Broadwater Parklands and Owen Park, and this year it is completely free to attend. We're so excited.
The future of the show didn't look too bright at the start of the year, as it was only in March Gold Coast councillors voted to keep the annual event. This decision was based on the condition the show was moved from its location of the Turf Club at Bundle, which many feared would limit the 2018 show. Jessie Curtis, a Gold Coast local, says she was relieved to hear the show would continue as usual this year.
I'm really glad that the Gold Coast show is coming back this year. It's a favourite in my family. We always really enjoy going along. Yeah, and I also am really glad that it's free as well this year, because I'm a uni student. That just makes it so much easier for me.
Ashley Hartley for The Source News.
Our top stories for today are that whilst the Australian drought is worsening, the mental health of Australian farmers is on the decline, as stress from the lack of rain for crops and the resulting financial strain has left farmers in a state of disarray. But this has caused the Australian community to come together as one in support of our farmers by organising charity events and increasing mental health awareness for those affected. Our second top story for today was that Tony Abbott received backlash after accepting a new Prime Minister Scott Morrison's offer to become an envoy for Indigenous Affairs. The Indigenous community has voiced their opinions on the decision, stating that they were not included in the government decision. You're up to date with today's news. It's 5:27 p.m. Tonight in Brisbane, expect a low of 9 degrees with a 0% chance of showers. Make sure you wear a jumper if you're planning on going out tonight. This is Josh Holmes.
And Julia Langton.
Reporting for 4EB The Source News.